The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to America's Web Radio. It's time now for the Doctor's Lounge Show with Dr. Scott Barber.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Doctor's Lounge. I'm Dr. Scott Barber, and you're listening to me on America's Web Radio. Today's show, we're going to continue our discussion about critical thinking. As I view the world around me, it becomes more and more clear to me that we need to return to a time when people thought for themselves, and that censorship needs to be rolled back. And the only way that's going to happen is for us to demand our God-given right to free speech. Now, as we all know, this show is about medicine. It's about promoting a free market healthcare. That has been my passion in life. And the reason is because I do believe that it's the best way to deliver healthcare. And I think that there's an ongoing, I know for a fact, there's an ongoing war between forces that want a government-controlled, one-size-fits-all, top-down government-controlled healthcare system. And then there are those of us who understand that control of our own healthcare is paramount if we want to maintain our freedom and control over our own bodies. And we've learned a lot of lessons, particularly in the last few years during the COVID rollout. And the relitigation of COVID, it's not the purpose to relitigate COVID. The purpose of bringing these things up is to help us understand what happened in terms of how we were gaslit into believing things that weren't true. We were prevented from sharing information about things that were true. And at the end of the day, we failed at managing this pandemic that passed, not only on a medical scale, but we allowed it to destroy our economy. And we also saw some very significant losses in our protections of individual freedom. And I want to review this stuff so that it doesn't happen again. Because first and foremost, I'm an American citizen, and I'm of the age where I was raised, that I was born into this country with certain God-given rights, that I was blessed to be in a country, a constitutional republic that had our individual rights codified in our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. And I'm slowly watching that over the course of my life be eroded. And I'm very concerned that what we have, what our founding fathers delivered to this country and its posterity is in great jeopardy. And medicine is a part of that. The control of medicine gives great power to those who control it, which is why individuals need to be in charge of their own healthcare. A lot of money is funneled through healthcare. We saw during the COVID pandemic, Congress literally passing trillions of dollars of spending, really without any pushback whatsoever. It was just, oh, we're in a miserable pandemic. So say all the experts, we're going to spend trillions of dollars. And everybody just kind of went, okay. And guys like me were kind of like, hey, where's that money going? Is anybody paying attention to that? And the answer to it was no. And I think the people that benefited from the spending of that money are thinking to themselves, man, we should do that again. And I want us to be in a position to push back so that these types of things don't happen again. And at the end of the day, I want my children to have control of their own healthcare. Because at the end of the day, as my father once said to me, the greatest gift I was ever given in this life, next to being born a citizen of the United States of America, was my health. Now, I just finished reading one of the most fantastic books I've ever read. The author, Vishal Mangalwadi, I apologize if I'm not saying that name properly, but he wrote a book called The Book That Made Your World. The Book That Made Your World. It is a fantastic book. It essentially argues the case that everything wonderful in our world was predicated on the Bible. He makes the case very eloquently that our constitutional republic is not predicated on Greek democracies, that actually societies predicated on Greek democracies have all failed. and that our constitutional republic is predicated on the Bible and the teachings of the Bible. Paramount to those teachings is that every human life is precious and that we are all made in the image of God. Our morality comes from the Bible, the Ten Commandments, and how we treat one another and how individuals have value. All of this comes from the Bible. This concept that we are made in the image of God, that God loves us. Our medical morality comes from that idea that individuals have meaning, have value, that life, we think of the sanctity of life. He made the case that the concept of caring for the deaf and the blind emanated from monasteries and biblical teachings, that hospitals, the idea of a hospital, came from the Bible. And our constitutional republic, predicated on the teachings of the Bible, our individual rights, documented in the Bill of Rights, came from the teachings of the Bible, predicated on the idea that we are made in the image of God and that life, that life is precious and valuable. And when we look at that Bill of Rights, the number one right that we have is the right to free speech. And when I was young and growing up, I grew up in the 70s. I was born in 65. And so in the 70s, I was kind of going through grade school. And I remember when I was in third grade, maybe third or fourth grade, maybe 74, 75, our school in Fairfax, Virginia, was doing a play, 1776, the famous play 1776. Sadly, I haven't seen it redone, but it was an amazing play, and the kids did great. The costumes were great, and it was such a big production that it made the front page of the Washington Post, which was a big deal at that time. And I remember the headline was something along the lines of Greenbrier Elementary School put stars in the eyes of its students. And, we did 1776 because at the time we were coming up on 1976 and the bicentennial celebration. And when I was a kid, I was taught about how wonderful this country is. And it is wonderful. And that human beings, flawed human beings, sinners, people with fallible characters, as we all are, came together and put together the most amazing society in human history. And although our country has flaws and always will, as every single country ever has, because as long as countries are made up of human beings, there will be sin and there will be failure. There will be flaws. That's the way it is. And my father used to point out to me the fact that these human beings that were all fallible and all subject to the same temptations and sins that we all are, were able to put together this amazing country that protected individual rights. And this is something that's unique to our country. And I used to look at the Bill of Rights, freedom of speech, the right to keep and bear arms, the right not to be free from illegal searches and seizures and so on, was something that just seemed resolved. It didn't seem like it was an issue in this country anymore. And as I've gotten older, I've sort of seen that you can never stop fighting for your rights. Reagan talked about the fact that, our freedoms are only one generation away and that you have to be vigilant. The famous concept of Benjamin Franklin when he came out of the signing of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitutional Congress, a citizen went up to him and asked him, "What sort of government have you given us?" And he said, "A republic, if you can keep it." And I remember thinking as a young person, like, what do you mean if we can keep it? We've got it. It's done. And now as I've gotten older, I realize we're in danger of losing it and that we need to fight for it. And when I think to myself, how are we going to get there? Is it going to be through political battles? And I understand because I've been doing this for a long time. I've gone up to D.C. I've met with senators and congressmen and other leaders, and I have been horrified at what I have found. These are not good people in general, in many cases. They are not learned people, and they do not have the best interest at heart. They don't understand the organization of our country, and so it makes it very difficult for us to preserve our freedoms. We see them spending us into oblivion And we are really in dangerous times. And for me, it was really a great wake-up call during the COVID pandemic. And as I've pointed out many times on the show, I feel like the COVID pandemic was something that gave me, in particular, an ability to see this playing field. And I don't say that arrogantly. I'm just saying, as somebody who owned a medical practice, so I was, I was very engrossed in the information because I was actually running a medical practice. I needed to know this information to protect my people. Having gone to medical school, I was educated on virology, epidemiology. I understood the medications that were being discussed. I had access to information that a lot of people didn't have. By being in hospitals, I could see what was going on with the people that were being misdiagnosed or basically they weren't being very accurate at who they documented as being vaccinated or unvaccinated, the methods that he used to try and decide who was infected with COVID and who wasn't. All of these things allowed me to see a lot of mistakes that I think might have been honest mistakes, but there was a lot of stuff that was just overt corruption. And one of the classic things was the mask. That to me was just the dumbest thing ever. You didn't even need to be a doctor to know it was stupid. They made us wear masks in a restaurant. You put them on the way to the table. When you got to the table, you took the mask off, you ate. If you went to the bathroom during that meal, you would put your mask back on. You would go to the bathroom, you'd come back, you'd take the mask off, start eating again, and then when you're done, you would put your mask off and then you would leave. And I was screaming at the top of my lungs, how is everybody falling for this? It's insanity. And I think what we learned was there was a method to the madness. It was sort of a combination of wanting to do the right thing, not really knowing everything, the fear of offending our neighbors, I think played into it a lot. And then those in charge were very good about applying pressure, not allowing you to work, not allowing you to travel, not allowing your kids to do things unless you complied. And I think we kind of got down the road a bit and people started to realize that they had a lot of power over our lives. And I'm going to try and connect some dots for you to help you understand just how important it is for critical thinking. Now, when I was young, I grew up primarily when there were three channels, ABC, NBC, and CBS. And the news that you got was from those three channels. And if the news didn't report it, then it didn't happen. That was sort of it. We all tuned in at 6 o'clock and they sort of were able to tell us what was going on about the Vietnam War, about Watergate, just about everything that went on, NASA, the space shuttle things, all of that stuff, it came from these three news organizations and they tended to be in harmony and there wasn't a lot of pushback. And what it allowed was the people that were presenting us the news, they were able to be very, very calm, very professional in their demeanor. They were able to seem very learned. And I realize now looking back, it's because they were never challenged. And so they were able to control the narrative by simply covering what they wanted us to see and avoiding things that they didn't want us to know about. Now, somewhere along there in the 80s, Rush Limbaugh came by and I started listening to Rush Limbaugh and I had no political position on anything. I was just listening to the radio and he seemed like a very positive person, a very learned person. He would talk about things. And he started getting attacked in the media all the time. And Rush Limbaugh was kind of the first time that we saw dissent from the overall narrative that we were getting, at least in my lifetime and on major scale. I'm sure people older than me are sitting out there going, well, what are you talking about? There was, Bill Buckley and other things. I mean, there was always sort of a bit of dissent out there, but it was very muted. It was very difficult to get a hold of. But when Rush Limbaugh came on the scene, that was a big deal. He had a lot of power. He was very charismatic. And when you listen to the man, he was very positive. I mean, that one of the things about him is if you don't know him, you didn't listen to him, and you just listen to reports about him, it's very different, right? They described him as this mean guy and all this kind of stuff. And then when you would listen to him, it was like, man, he's not at all like they described him. And that was sort of what got me listening to him in the first place, was just what I heard in the media about him was not what I was hearing with my own ears. And I think this was the beginning of my critical thinking skills. Because again, at that time, I had no political outlet whatsoever. I sort of had in the back of my head that I lived in this country where everything was solved. My freedoms were secure. My kids' freedoms were going to be secure. I had nothing to worry about. And one of the things that really affected how I viewed the world and the media around me was when Barack Obama was coming on the scene and getting ready to run for president, Rush Limbaugh was going over Obama's record and the negative. And at the end of his statement, he said, "If Obama's goal is socialism, then I hope he fails." And I thought to myself, yeah, I mean, I don't want socialism either. So if that's his goal, then I hope he fails at making us socialist. Well, the if his goal is socialism got left out of the quote, and it just became this big old thing of Rush Limbaugh hopes Obama fails. And it just took off like wildfire. And I thought to myself, wow, that is not what Rush said. That's not at all what he said. And that was me recognizing, using my critical thinking skills, that we were being gaslit, that they were lying about it. Another enormous one that drives me crazy was during the so-called Charlottesville hoax that still is getting propagated today, when the people were tearing down statues, Civil War statues and things like that. And there was a group of people, two sides to this people like me, who did not believe that Civil War statues should be torn down by mobs, that we should actually have organization and meetings and consensus, and we can talk about taking down statues, but that it needed to happen in the vein of our American Republic and not by these mobs. And Trump made the comment that there were very fine people on both sides of the issue, meaning those who wanted the statues torn down and those who didn't. And then Trump goes on to say, "I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white supremacists. They should be condemned totally." He said that. You could listen to it. And of course, it all has been turned into by the media, and I mean all of the media, including all of your favorite shows out there that have allowed it to propagate, where they said that Trump called neo-Nazis and white supremacists very fine people. And for me, those are two of the biggest examples of us being gaslit, but it's not the only example. And that's why we have all got to learn how to critically think, and we all have to be aware that we must critically think if we're going to navigate through this world. Now, as it comes down to medicine, they talk about things like best practices. I remember when I was in medical school, they would always talk about this best practices. And it was kind of like best practices, almost like if you don't do best practices, you're a bad person. But I am an educated person, and I was very curious. I've always understood that I'm a very limited guy, and I want to know everything. I've always wanted to have all sides of the story. It's just the way I'm wired. And so I want to ask lots of questions. And so when people tell me, listen, you have to do it this way and you can't ask any questions, my antenna goes up immediately like, hey man, something doesn't sound right. That's not the way I was raised. That's not the country that I'm born into. That's not the ethos of my country. Independent thinking, individual rights, those are the things that are in the back of my mind. And so when people start telling me, you can't do this because you're not an expert, or we have best practices, you have to do it this way, or we're going to defer to the experts and let them decide, my antenna is immediately like, absolutely not. And the reason is I don't trust anybody to have my best interests at heart. They simply do not. And I don't care. I'm old enough now, and I've been around the horn enough. I've been to the annals of, you know, politics. I've been in the, you know, the deep seats of academics and all this kind of stuff. And I know that there are a lot of people at the top of these places that are very, very unimpressive. And I do not allow them to make major decisions for me or my family. It's just simply not going to be that way. And I want to convince you guys to be that way as well. And that's why I'm trying to connect some dots for you. Now, I'm going to play you this first clip. This is an interview between a BBC reporter and Elon Musk, and they're talking about the spread of misinformation, and I think Elon brings up some very important issues, and I want you guys to just listen closely to what he says. This can be a couple minutes long. This is a BBC reporter.
No, what I claim is lied. What I claim was.
But I say, sir, that you don't know what you're talking about.
Really?
You know, who's to say that something is misinformation? Who's the arbiter of that? Is it the BBC?
And you're literally asking me.
Yes.
Well, no, you are the arbiter on Twitter because you own Twitter.
Yes, I'm saying, who is to say that one person's misinformation is another person's information? The point at which you said that there is, this is misinformation. Like, who is going
to
decide
that misinformation
that
can be dangerous, that it can cause real-world harms, that it can potentially cause,
Yeah, so the point I'm trying to make is that BBC itself has, at times, published things that are false. Do you agree that that has occurred?
I'm quite sure the BBC have said things before that turn out to not be true.
Right.
It is, whatever it is, 100-year history, I'm quite sure.
Yes. Even if you aspire to be accurate, there are times when you will not be.
We've spoken to people very recently who are involved in moderation, and they just say there's not enough people to police this stuff, particularly around hate speech in the company. Is that
what hate speech are you talking about?
I want you guys to just listen to what this guy's saying. First of all, if you're not seeing the video, but this guy's a deer in the headlights when Elon says, okay, you guys want to police misinformation. The BBC has made mistakes, and he's kind of like, oh, are you asking me a question? Because he doesn't know what to say. He hasn't thought about this. And then his brain immediately goes into hate speech. Right now he's feeling really defensive, and it's like, we got to regulate speech, especially on Twitter where free speech is allowed. And then Elon's gonna press him even further. I want you to watch this guy's head explode.
I mean, you use Twitter.
Right.
Do you see a rise in hate speech?
I mean,
just a personal anecdote. Like, what did you? I don't.
Personally, my For You, I would see I get more of that kind of content, yeah, personally. But I'm not gonna talk to the rest of, for the rest of Twitter.
You see this happen all the time with these people who push experts. They're saying generalized things like, well, yes, I've seen lots of hate speech definitely increase on my Twitter. Absolutely. I want you to listen to Elon press this guy and say, okay, give me an example.
You see more hate speech personally?
I would see more hateful content in that.
Content you don't like or hateful? What do you mean? To describe a hateful thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just content that will solicit a reaction, something that may include something that is slightly racist or slightly sexist, those kinds of things.
So you think if something is slightly sexist, it should be banned?
Is that
what you're saying?
I'm not saying anything.
I'm just curious. I'm trying to understand what you mean by hateful content. And I'm asking for specific examples. And you just said that if something is slightly sexist, that's hateful content. Does that mean that it should be banned?
Well, you've asked me whether my feed, whether it's got less or more. I'd say it's got slightly more.
That's why I'm asking for examples. Can you name one example?
I honestly don't.
You can't name a single example.
I'll tell you why, because I don't actually use that feed anymore.
Okay, did you just hear this clown? Okay. Hey, listen, we need the experts to crack down on hate speech. And we need to crack down on misinformation on Twitter. And Elon's like, okay, well, give me an example. And he goes, first Elon asks him, do you see a rise in hate speech on Twitter? He's like, oh yeah, I totally see it. Okay, give me an example. Well, you know, things that are slightly racist, slightly sexist. And Elon's saying, okay, well, give me an example. And then he goes, well, I can't because I don't use Twitter. I mean, this kind of scam is going on, and this is what I'm talking about, critical thinking skills, is don't just have somebody tell you, listen, you're not an expert, so stop thinking, and then you say to yourself, well, I guess I'm not an expert, I'll wait for somebody to tell me. You gotta ask questions. You are an expert when it comes to your life. In fact, you're the only expert that matters when it comes to your life.
I just don't particularly like it.
You said
a lot of people are quite similar.
You said you've seen more hateful content, but you can't name a single example. Not even one.
I'm not sure I've used that feed for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
How did you see that hateful content?
Because I've been using Twitter since you've taken it over for the last 6 months.
Okay, so then you must have at some point seen that you for you hateful content. And I'm asking for one example.
Right.
And you can't give a single one.
And I'm saying,
I say so that you don't know what you're talking about.
Really?
Yes, because you can't give me a single example of hateful content. Not even one tweet. and yet you claimed that the HIPAA content was high.
Well,
that's a false.
No, what I claimed...
You just lied.
What I claimed was there are many organizations that say that that kind of information is on the rise. Now, whether it has on
give
my
me
feed
one
or
example.
Not, I mean, I, right, and literally, if you look at something like the Strategic Dialogue Institute in the UK, they will say that. So
people will say all sorts of nonsense. I'm literally asking for a single example, and you can't name one.
Right, and as I already said, I don't use that feed. But let's
then how would you know?
Now it's back to, I don't use it.
You said you experienced more hateful content, and then couldn't name a single example.
Right, and as I said,
that's absurd.
I haven't actually looked at that feed.
Then how would you know if it's hateful content?
Because I'm saying that's what I saw a few weeks ago. I can't give you an exact example.
Okay, I know your brains are all hurting. It's tough to listen to this guy, but this is the definition of a useful idiot, right? This guy, he's a talking head for the BBC. He knows that his mantra is supposed to be that Twitter is allowing, needs to be censored. And the reason is because of hate speech and misinformation. He knows that's not the truth. The reason is, that he has a certain political ideology. This, of course, is me using my own critical thinking skills. Obviously, I can't get inside his head. But my interpretation of this is that because Twitter is allowing free speech, people are having access to truthful information that they don't like because it goes against their worldview, and it's persuading people not to follow their ideas about how the world should be run. That is what's going on. And it's just so obvious. It's just so important to understand that it does not matter. And I teach this to my students. I teach it to my kids. And my father used to teach it to me, that just because somebody has a certain education, because they have a certain title or a position, you don't just believe them about everything carte blanche. You always have to have your thinking cap on. And I remember when I was a kid, they used to say that all the time when I was in school. Keep your thinking cap on. When I was in medical school, I was constantly being told to use your own information, use your own thinking. If somebody presents something to you that doesn't make any sense, don't simply accept it. And that's how I was trained. And so when COVID came around and people were telling me that there's this new vaccine coming around and that it's amazing, I'm thinking to myself, well, wait a second. When I was in medical school, I was trained that it takes 10 years to know the full ramifications of a new vaccine. So how is it that you've got this new one and you're telling me that it's perfectly safe and that there's no issues with it whatsoever? And then on top of that, I'm also looking at the virus myself. They're trying to tell me the mortality rate was 3.1%. Immediately, I knew that was ridiculous. Why? Because I was doing my own research. And then, of course, when I was screaming at the top of my lungs, it's not 3.1%. It's more like flu, 0.02%. And, of course, eventually, within a few weeks, the CDC admitted quietly, not loudly, quietly, that the mortality rate was low, like an influenza. But we kept treating COVID like it was this boogeyman. And as a critical thinker, I was kind of like, all right, something is up. Now, as we start looking into this even more, you know, you got to start thinking to yourself, if somebody lies to you in your personal life, let's say you have a friend and they lie to you about certain things, are you going to take the next thing they say at face value, or are you going to be a little more skeptical about what they're saying? And, you know, obviously in our private lives, if somebody routinely lies to us, we tend to be a little more distrustful of things they say in the future. Why is that not the case with news organizations that lie to you about major things? And I'm going to connect some dots today to show you that you're being lied to. And I'm hoping that it makes an adjustment. I'm also going to be showing you something that demonstrates that people are starting to wake up to this, that should give you a little bit of hope. But it is so important that you guys keep your thinking caps on, that you keep your critical thinking skills sharp, and that you encourage those that you have influence over to keep their critical thinking skills working at all times. We're going to go to commercial break right now. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dr. Scott Barber on the Doctor's Lounge. We're coming to you on America's Web Radio, and we'll be right back.
This is Dr. Hal Schurz from the Doctor's Lounge on America's Web Radio. I want to thank you for your support. Our show is brought to you by the Docs for Patient Care Foundation, which is the only physician-led healthcare think tank in the country. Our website is www.pcfoundation.org. We need you to support our organization so that we can continue to bring you this show and the information that you need so that you can support the healthcare of you and your family.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
Hey folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday, 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember folks, I'm not angry, I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doctor's Lounge. I'm Dr. Scott Barber, and you're listening to us on America's Web Radio. We're going to pick up our critical thinking conversation. Now, we were talking about the fact that just because somebody's got a education or they have a certain title or a certain position, you should not just trust what they say blindly, that you should always be verifying information that you get as a critical thinker in this world and understand that these entities that we sometimes look to protect us and to help us, that they won't necessarily always have your best interest at heart. Now, I want to play you a congressional hearing conducted by Senator Josh Hawley, and he's going to be talking to whistleblowers who are talking about a deeply disturbing report showing that the CIA was paid to mislead the public on COVID. I want you to listen to what he has to say.
Dangerously compromised warned CIA and FBI whistleblowers. You're not the only one to report this, of course, but I was reading your report on it this morning. This is something that you have been warning about for quite some time, and the allegations stem from a whistleblower who has come forward to the House, a whistleblower from the Central Intelligence Agency. I have the letter, the relevant letter here from the House Oversight Committee. The whistleblower alleges that a CIA team was paid to change its assessment of the origins of COVID-19. Do I have that broadly correct? Is that your understanding of the report?
Yeah.
This is obviously a bombshell report, deeply, deeply troubling. I'm glad that the House is going to look into it. We should look into it. What caught my attention is you point out in your article on this that the government has deliberately violated the COVID Origins Act, which this body passed unanimously, which the House passed, the President signed into law, and maybe he wasn't so happy about signing it into law, but he did. It is the law of the land, and which required that all of the government's intelligence on the origins of COVID be made public. Instead, what the administration did was offer up a summary, which they then, in turn, heavily redacted. And you point out that, in addition, the government refused to, the administration refused to report the names of scientists who fell ill at the Wuhan Institute of Virology in 2019, despite the fact they know the names. The intelligence community knows the names. Now, you're absolutely right to say this is a violation of the COVID Origins Act, and I would know because I wrote it. So I'm not very happy about the fact that this administration continues to flaunt, flout, completely ignore public law passed, again, unanimously by the United States Senate. For what end, I can't tell. I can't figure out why in the world. I don't know what partisan game there is to it. Why in the world they want to lie to the American people. You conclude your article by saying the government has become extremely comfortable with lying to us. Just explain what you mean by that and tell us why you think this is so significant.
Well, sure. And just on the very specific point of we were the first to identify the three people that contracted the coronavirus in China. They were the people working on gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. The Wall Street Journal confirmed our reporting 2 weeks later, and then I think it was 1 week after that or a few days after that, the ODNI report came out, and it did not reveal this information. And we had multiple sources. The Wall Street Journal, we have no idea if the Wall Street Journal sources were the same. But I think we're clearly seeing a lot of abuses of power occurring in multiple executive agencies. So we've seen it with the FBI. One of the things that we noted yesterday was that we saw perverse incentives in the FBI to go after so-called domestic violent extremism, pulling an agent off of things like child exploitation, onto really hyping a set of cases that particularly appeared to be aimed at spreading disinformation around the idea that there is a significant increase of domestic extremism, when we don't think that the evidence shows that.
So the important thing here is not to get into the details. It's not a show about the CIA misleading the country. I'm simply trying to point out the fact that there are, you know, large entities that we allow a tremendous amount of power to be vested in, the CIA being one of them. And there's information here that they're not acting in our best interest in an area where we know that there have been a lot of corrupt actions taken, the whole thing around COVID, from the emergency use authorizations. We can go over all those details we have on this show, the use of masks, the forced vaccinations, the idea that the vaccine works unequivocally and that anybody who doesn't take the vaccine, you know, is committing some sort of crime against their neighbors. All of these sorts of things are important. And so when you come up upon information like this, my instincts, my critical thinking skills would tell me, hey, let's investigate this further. Let's have open discussion and debate, and let's get to the bottom of this stuff, because at the end of the day, we are all pursuing truth. And what I'm learning through my life is that that doesn't seem to be the case. It doesn't seem that everybody is in the pursuit of truth. And, you know, one of the things that has been really devastating to me, just, you know, having grown up in this land for a reasonable amount of time, is, you know, this idea of my truth. It's like, what are you talking about, my truth? There's only the truth. And, you know, the purpose of life, when you get down to it, is the pursuit of the true and the beautiful. And when we educate people in our schools, we should be preparing them to investigate the true and the beautiful. And that the idea that service to others is where the true meaning of life is, that is what is important. And then what you see here is you see power brokers that are taking advantage of certain situations for monetary gain, for political power, and they're using healthcare as a major tool and weapon against us. And unless we get control over our own healthcare, it's going to be used against us again. Now, I want to play, and I know that I do this a lot, and I apologize if you guys are sick of hearing it, but connecting these dots is really important, especially for people who don't tune in all the time or don't listen very closely. I want to make this so crystal clear, what is going on, so that we have our thinking caps on in the future. Now, I want you to listen to this montage of talking heads and people in power and people that, you know, the world thinks we should listen to, telling us how well COVID vaccines work. Starting off with Bill Gates.
Protecting themselves, but reducing their transmission to other people and allowing society to get back to normal.
We can kind of almost see the end.
Michelle Walensky, CDC director.
Our data from the CDC today suggests, you know, that vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
Getting vaccinated and getting a booster shot when eligible can save your life and protect you and
Marks.
Your family and friends from getting seriously
Dr.
ill
Marks.
And spreading infection.
What do you think the probability is? 80%?
Personally, I think it's 100%. I think that there's a reduction in transmission
of COVID if you have these vaccinations.
We have all the vaccines we need. We just need our people to take it. A, for their own protection, for the protection of their family, but also to break the chain of transmission. You want to be a dead end to the virus.
Dead end to the virus.
To you, you stop it.
It's
you
stopped.
Don't allow it to use you as the stepping stone to the next person.
You got the CNN person nodding.
The vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person. A vaccinated person.
Okay. This is the one that gets me the most. For those of you out there who still view yourselves as having critical thinking skills whatsoever, this is Rachel Maddow condescendingly just giving you the whole, it stops. it can't use you to go on and infect another. I mean, just listen to this person.
Exposed to the virus? The virus does not infect them. The virus cannot then use that person to go anywhere else. It cannot use a vaccinated person as a host to go get more people. That means the vaccines will get us to the end of this.
Okay, why would anybody listen to Rachel Maddow ever again? Okay, you know, when we talked earlier, the BBC was talking about that guy talking to Elon Musk was saying, well, listen, you know, the BBC has been around for a long time, and I'm sure we've accidentally spread information. And that does happen where people make mistakes, right? That was no mistake. That was full on gaslighting. And there's no way Rachel Maddow, who's not a dumb person, didn't know that she was gaslighting you. Okay. And to me, there's a difference because I have my own critical thinking skills on. If somebody's trying to give me honest information and they make an error, like I can go, okay, all right, maybe that person I would watch more with a critical eye towards. They don't do very good research and they're prone to mistakes. Maybe I would think that. But I look at somebody who's absolutely lying to me on purpose very differently. And that person I'm never listening to again because I know their motive isn't the pursuit of truth.
Look at the emergency use authorization, which is right on the screen. If you look what it says under transmission, this is what was known the moment they were making those things. Can I have the next slide, please? What was known was that the data are not there, limited to assess the effects of the vaccine against transmission of SARS-CoV-2. They had no idea. They had no idea if it would stop the infection, yet they were making those statements on the news.
Plus, the Pfizer COVID vaccine tested on stopping the transmission of the virus before it entered the market. If not, please say it clearly. If yes, are you willing to share the data with this committee? And I really want a straight answer, yes or no, and I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
Regarding the question around, did we know about stopping humanization before it entered the market? No. We had to really move at the speed of science.
Person you heard was a European Union member questioning a Pfizer representative about, did you guys test to see if the vaccine prevented transmission? And he was kind of like, don't give me any BS. I'm waiting for your answer. Just yes or no. And she's like, no, we didn't test it, but we were moving at the speed of science. I mean, the ridiculousness of that statement should allow all of us with our thinking caps on to say to ourselves, well, wait a second. How could you do something so blatantly unscientific, like throw something out there claiming that it prevented transmission when you didn't look at it and then telling us that you're moving at the speed of science? It reminds me of the BBC guy who's telling Elon, well, you know, Twitter's just got all hateful stuff on there. And Elon's like, well, give me an example. And he, well, I don't look at Twitter. And Elon's kind of like, well, then how do you know it's got hateful stuff? Oh, because, you know, it just does. I mean, I've looked at it. These people cannot get out of their own way. And there's nobody immune from this. And that's why you have to learn how to question everything for your own. When you take your kids to go see the doctor, you need to have to be allowed to ask questions. And if you're not permitted to ask questions, you need to go find yourself another doctor. It's absolutely imperative that you're allowed to think for yourselves and don't let people just take over your life. And we're seeing that happen more and more. We saw it during COVID. If you went in and you wanted to talk about hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, you would get doctors that are just, you know, probably call security on you and have you thrown out of the hospital. Now, I want you to look at this. This is a montage that I got, Hat Tip Gravy, and I got this off of Twitter. I want you to listen to this montage about COVID.
Trump wrote on Twitter, don't be afraid of COVID, don't let it dominate your life. Don't let
CNN.
It dominate your life?
In terms of responding to a comment like that, it's gross.
It's okay to be afraid of COVID, and it's okay that it's dominating your life.
Everyone should be afraid of COVID.
And you shall know the truth.
CNN.
And it shall set you free.
I can't come in, Mom. It's because of this flu thing.
We won't be free of this pandemic until we listen to
Al Gore.
Truth. Listen to the scientists.
Science is truth. You know, science is truth.
You know, when we talk about our thinking caps, and I think of Al Gore, that guy gets me the most. You know, he did his movie, The Inconvenient Truth, way back in the day after he lost the presidential run to George Bush, who, you know, sadly wasn't much different than any of the others. But he put this movie out, Inconvenient Truth, on the climate scam. And if you go back and watch that movie today, it's like everything he predicted was going to happen in the future, it didn't happen. You know, this idea that polar bears are going to go away. They had to remove the polar bear as the icon for the climate scam because there's so many polar bears now. It's just ridiculous to have it be, you know, the icon for it. And it just gets me to say, like, hey, wait a second. That movie turned out to be totally flawed, totally wrong. Nothing it said came true. So maybe I ought to revisit the whole thing, but we don't ever seem to do that. We just move along and we allow our government to force these ridiculous green energy scams that just put us further and further into debt, destroying our economy. We go on. More of this.
The impact to public health when people are openly questioning the science.
Now is the time to do what you're told.
By not hearing the truth, by not listening to the scientists, they are prolonging how
you see
bad
this,
the
experts.
Economy will be.
When you're
I
evil.
See somebody out in the world who's not wearing a mask, I instantly think you are a threat, or you are selfish, or you are a COVID denier, and you
see the importance of this is when they were trying to force us into compliance. Then they utilized their talking heads and their media. They use people with influence and power to, you know, it's not just do it. It's like you're evil if you don't do it. You're stupid if you don't do it. You're unscientific if you don't do it. I need you guys to put your thinking caps on. Don't let them do this to you.
I've been vaccinated.
Yeah, we're not.
What does this say? Are you vaccinated?
I am triple vaccinated.
So why are you wearing a mask? Seek out the scientists and listen to their advice.
Listen to scientists. Listen to the scientists.
Trust the experts.
We're going to trust science. We're going to trust the experts.
Parents who say, well, I need to do my own research. Makes you think of that cartoon I saw, the tombstone that said, I did my own research.
Okay, that one to me is horrifying. They're trying to berate people that want to do their own research. Can you imagine such a thing? I mean, just step back for a minute and think to yourself, you are being berated because you want to do your own research. This is really disgusting stuff. It's scary stuff and it should wake people up. The other thing you should understand is who are the people that are making these comments? They should not be trusted going further. When you see CNN going out of their way to tell you this, I'm trying to play it back and forth to you guys. I'm trying to pay you what they say originally and then what they say after they get exposed to try and help you understand what is happening. You've got to have your thinking caps on. You have to be critically thinking at all times. You have to understand that there is no group of experts out there that is solving your problems for you. You're going to have to take charge of your own life. And, you know, it's funny to me when they talk about following the science, following the experts and everything like that. They always are the ones who decide who are the scientists and who are the experts. You know, I've been telling you guys this forever that, you know, if you're trying to go and do a research project and you say, hey, I would like to do a research project showing that CO2 is not causing worldwide man-made global warming, you're not getting any funding for that. They're not going to allow that to happen because it's not what they want. And if you understand how things work, then it helps you understand what you're seeing. And if we don't make an effort to always be in the pursuit of the true and the beautiful, we are going to be in great peril. We're going to be in great danger. And with AI, right, it's not coming around the corner. It's right here, the ability to make movies and images of people saying and doing things. And you're going to have to say to yourself, is that really happening? Am I really seeing that? And this battle that's going on to prevent free speech. I mean, for me, my critical thinking skills tell me that the person that they're trying to censor is not the person I should be worried about. It's the person who's trying to do the censoring that makes me worried. Because if somebody is going to speak mistruths, the open forum, the open square of free speech is going to allow us to get to what the actual truth is, not eliminating truth. And we've shown it. I'm going to show it to you in a second with Chris Cuomo. In fact, we're going to go to that right after this one. But beware of the people that are touting experts, best practices. We got to censor it because it's hate speech or misinformation. Those are the people that pose the danger.
Republicans
Americans have given their voters license to believe whatever they want to believe.
Heard somebody saying, listen to the scientists, do that.
Let's listen to the scientists. Phrase, do your own research. It's popping up a lot in conversations about coronavirus and about COVID vaccines. Doing your own research, it seems so innocent, but it can have serious consequences. Renee, what are the roots of this phrase? I feel like I used to hear it around QAnon craziness.
They're tasing somebody for not wearing a mask.
Tase somebody over a mask.
You can believe
this.
That last image there is a security guard tasing somebody for not wearing a mask in a store. And I'm telling you, 100 years from now, they're going to look back on what happened. And, if we're still in existence 100 years from now, the way things are going, but people are going to look back on this insanity as, you know, the Spanish Inquisitions or the Salem witch trials. It's like, how did we descend into this madness? And I'm just old enough, I guess, to have it ingrained in my core to do my own research, period. That's just the way we were raised in my generation. And to hear a guy saying that, you know, trying to berate somebody for doing their own research, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that people fall for this stuff. And, you know, the people who are saying don't do your own research, those are the first people that we need to dismiss. Now, you see them, they're trying to use experts saying, we've got this thing, it's going to work. If you take the vaccine, it stops. Then they think to themselves, okay, that doesn't work. Now we're going to really berate you. If you don't wear your mask, you're evil, you're killing people, you're hurting people. And then the final step was them basically saying, if you don't comply, we're going to infringe on your ability to survive. And I want you to listen to Dr. Fauci here.
Universities and colleges are going to say, you want to come to this college, buddy? You're going to get vaccinated. Lady, you're going to get vaccinated. Yeah. Big corporations like Amazon and Facebook and all of those others are going to say, you want to work for us? You get vaccinated. And it's been proven that when you make it difficult for people in their lives, they lose their ideological bullshit and they get vaccinated.
I mean, unbelievable, right? That was their technique. And the even more incredible thing to me is that Fauci said that in open forum in a congressional hearing. It's just the arrogance of it all. All right. So we go through the COVID pandemic and we start to see that there are problems. Now let's listen to these same people that were telling us that we were, you know, not following the science and that we were hurting other people. Let's listen to what they have to say. Now, I want you to listen to Dr. Peter Marks, who was the FDA director. I want you to listen to him when he's confronted in this congressional hearing about all of the adverse event reports. Listen to how contrite this sniveling little troll is.
As of February 2024, VAERS reports for COVID-19 vaccines total significantly higher than all other vaccines combined since 1990, as reported. This is a surprising figure. Dr. Marks was.
Did you guys catch that? The VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, was higher for COVID than all other vaccines combined. Yeah, you don't hear the media talking about that, do you?
Government prepared for such an avalanche of reports to VAERS, and it kind of goes with what we just mentioned. So,
Chair Wenstrup, thank you so much for that question.
Thank you so much for the question.
I apologize about your name before. That shows when you're nervous.
I'm very nervous.
Things can happen. But the point is extremely well taken. We tried to be prepared for that, but the avalanche of reports was tremendous, and it again required retasking people on the fly I'll let my CDC colleagues speak to this. We had to usually staff up and had many meetings working to increase our ability to go through these reports.
Okay, I want you to know that Marks dude, FDA director, was played in one of the other things I showed for you when he was trying to tell you the vaccine's totally effective and safe. If you don't take it, you're being a loser. He was one of those dudes. And now when the VAERS reports more for COVID vaccines than all other vaccines combined. That's what the data is showing. He's all, oh, you know, thank you for the question. Yeah, you know, it was quite a thing. And I'm like, wait a second, bro. Why did you guys force us to take it? Why did you make us lose our ideological BS by making it impossible for us to go to school, making it impossible for us to work, making it impossible for us to travel? Why did you guys do that? Now, I want you to listen, Chris Cuomo and Dr. Jha, who used to be one of the White House guys on COVID, that were forcing lockdowns, pressing for forced vaccinations and all these different things. I want you to listen to how they sound now when the data comes out.
If we went through something like it again, do you believe that who would be mandated to get the vaccine would be much more narrow?
Yes, I do. I do. I look, I say this to my public health friends, and I remind them that the history of mandates in public health is not a glorious history.
No, it's not. But yet they want to do
general,
it again.
In general, you don't want to use mandates unless you absolutely have to. And I say that as somebody who supported vaccine mandates early on.
Yeah, he did.
But I'm also someone who ended all the vaccine mandates when I was at the White House.
No, he didn't.
Because I felt like the era of mandates was...
That is not what happened.
What I will say on this is you should use mandates rarely. You should use it very narrowly. And I get why people did it. I get why I was supportive of it initially. It seemed to work. It certainly saved a lot of lives.
Okay, this is just utterly ridiculous, okay? These guys got caught with their pants down, and they are trying to rewrite history and kind of memory hole what happened. This guy, Jha, I was asked early in COVID on Fox News. They wanted me to talk about the masks. And so they came and they interviewed me earlier in the day, and I did my spot, and I said what I said, and I was like, okay. Then I went and I watched so they taped me, and then they aired it later in the day, or maybe it was the next day. And then what I saw was, like, I did my talk, and then this guy Jha comes on behind me and starts saying things like, well, the red states opened up and that their numbers went through the roof and it was because of masking, and it was a total lie. And I realized that I was set up. They wanted me to say what I would say so that they could look at what I said and be able to counter it. And they had this guy Jha come on behind me and basically made this hoax that, states like Texas and Florida were opening up. And what they did was they manipulated the data, and conflated different time periods to make it appear as if red states that were getting rid of the mask mandates, were having an outburst of infection. And this got proven. And the thing that amazes me, again, using my critical thinking skills, is where was the media? Where were all these agencies that were supposed to protect us when they lied about ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine? Where was the FDA, the CDC, and the WHO coming in to say, you know what, actually these medicines work pretty good and they're safe, why don't you try them? That never happened. And so as a critical thinker, I'm saying to myself, you know what, maybe I'm not going to pay attention to these people so much anymore. Now, I didn't even get to a million other things. We're going to pick it up last time, but I do want to leave you with one last thing. So we've gone through this whole process of COVID. They manipulated us. They forced us into lockdowns, mandates, mask mandates, and vaccinations. And then now we're dealing with the consequences of it. They're having these faux contritional, saying that they're they're sorry and that they would do it differently in the future. They're trying to memory hole what exactly happened. And you would think that they'd be like, okay, we're not going to try that again. But no, I want you to listen to the new CDC director talking about the new vaccines ready to come out as if we didn't just live through all this. Listen to this.
We need to see everyone get an updated flu shot and an updated COVID vaccine. We also shared on Friday that we expect and anticipate there's going to be an updated COVID vaccine coming this fall, right? So plan now.
Yeah.
Right? It's March, so you could think ahead when you're going to get your flu shot in the fall. You're going to get another updated COVID vaccine. And the reason for it is because this virus continues to change. That's okay. We can stay one step ahead of it. We have the tools to do it. We just need to use them. So FDA, CDC has started that process just like we do with the flu shot. We've started that process to update the COVID vaccine already for this fall. And so we just want folks to, again, already start thinking about that.
All right. Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know if you believe her. I certainly am skeptical. I think I've kind of connected some dots for you guys today. Listen, critical thinking at all times. Our purpose on this earth is to pursue the true and the beautiful. Service to others is where true fulfillment in life comes from. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. We're going to pick up some more stuff next time. Everybody have a great day. You're listening to Dr. Scott Barber on the Doctor's Lounge. We're coming to you from America's Web Radio, and we'll see you next time. I'm out.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.